public meeting to order with the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, do you have any changes to the agenda?
I just have one item under executive session. If we could amend that to drop the section on personnel.
Does council have any other changes to the agenda?
None.
If not, I'll accept the motion to approve as amended.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion carried. Reading of course, excuse me, approval of minutes. I believe we have one set of minutes, the June 2nd, that were made available to you. Are there any changes to those minutes? Hearing none, I'll accept those minutes as approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Griffin?
Looks like we've got a few items of correspondence. First, a thank you note from the Rehoboth Art League for giving a donation to them to help fund their summer outreach program. Then a letter from the city of Rehoboth Beach to Mr. Cole, thanking him for a donation of $2,500 to be used towards the Henlopen Condominium Beautification Project. Then a letter from the Bethany Beach 4th of July Committee to Mr. Cole, thanking him for a contribution for their 4th of July parade. And that's all the correspondence, unless somebody else has something they'd like to pass down.
I do. I believe we all might have received, in fact, I sent it from William Vanderwen from the Sussex Conservation District.
I believe that's on record for the public hearing at the budget, for the budget. It would be appropriate to read it then.
It will be read then?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Are there any other correspondence? If not, we will continue the meeting with Rob Davis, our Utility Planning Division.
Would you do start early today? Did you start earlier?
3 o'clock.
Yes.
Meeting start 3 o'clock.
Oh man, I get.
Yeah. We'll move back to 10, George, so you won't get tied up.
Time zones different, Eastern Sussex.
Mm-hmm. You know, Kathy, clocks are different down there, aren't they?
Don't even try it.
They are different.
Probably clock operators are different.
How are you, Mr. Davis?
Very well, Mr. President. Thank you. Council members? The engineering department is here today for two items of business affecting the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District. The first is requesting permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing for the annexation of a small area of land to the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District. The area to be added is shown in blue and cross-hatched on your map and on the map in front. It's this small triangular piece, which is located east of Route 213 and north of Ellendale. The area to be added will be part of the proposed Ingram Village and resulted in from a land swap to square off boundaries with an adjoining property owner. The Ingram Village is a proposed residential community and is in the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District. The project is within system design assumptions for the sewer system, and there is adequate capacity. Overall, the project is proposed for a total of 405 residential units on 102 acres for a density of approximately 3.97 units per acre. The Sussex County Council approved a rezoning change from general residential to general residential residential planned community on October 14th, 2008. The parcels to be added were approved in the rezoning. So zoning is in place for the proposed project. The project will pay approximately $2,773,000 in systems connection charges. The sewer district will also benefit through an additional front footage and service charges. The engineering department has a written request to include the area in the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District and a check for the administration fee to process the public hearing and so forth. We tentatively have a public hearing scheduled for July 28th, 2009, at 3:30 p.m. in the Sussex County Council Chambers. Any questions?
Do you need action from us today?
I have a proposed motion if you'd like me to read it.
Please.
Be it moved by the Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the extension of the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District to include an area of Ingram Village as presented on June 16th, 2009.
Is there a motion from Council?
So move you.
Second.
I have a motion and a second from Council to approve the motion as read by Mr. Davis. Is there any questions or discussion?
Is any stimulus money involved in this at all? Available?
It's a private developer project.
Private project.
They're doing it all. So.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think there is.
You know what the hookups are going to be, what the costs will be per unit?
Systems connection charges are $6,800 a piece. The developer will hook the units up, presumably.
And developer is, name of developer is?
It's known as Dale Wheatley, Doug Simpson as the owners.
Any other questions for Mr. Davis? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. I have one more.
$6,800. No. What's it say? Sponsored by the taxpayers' money.
Just about trying to spend stimulus money, so.
I'm in tight with Obama. We're just jealous.
Looks just like the last one. Same color.
Is this private also?
They all are.
Mm. Why don't we have it?
No.
Why not?
Mr. Davis?
And for the second item, the engineering department is requesting permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing for the annexation of a parcel of land to the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District. The area to be added is shown in blue and crosshatched on your map and the map in front. The total area to be added is approximately 66.2 acres. It is located on the west side of Route 213, Old State Road, south of Ellendale. The area joins the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District. The area to be added will be part of the proposed Newdale Acres development. It has been referred to as Land of Shipbuilders, LLC. Newdale Acres is a proposed residential community in the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District. Project is within system design assumptions for the sewer system, and there is adequate capacity. Overall, the project is proposed for a total of 296 residential units on 141 acres for a density of approximately 2.1 units to the acre. The Sussex County Council approved a rezoning change from MR to MRRPC on May 5, 2009. The parcel to be added was approved in the rezoning. Zoning is in place for the proposed project. The project will pay approximately $2,027,000 in systems connection charges. The sewer district will also benefit through additional front footage assessment service charges. The engineering department has a written request to include the area in the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District and a check for the administration fee. A public hearing is tentatively scheduled for July 28, 2009 at 3:45 p.m. in the Sussex County Council Chambers. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Davis?
I do have one question. When we lay these out, all the yellow is already in the district, right?
Yes, the yellow is the sewer district.
Right,
I'm
just
sorry.
Like on the last one, right.
Is that the county sewer district?
Yeah. Now we see up on DuPont Boulevard, we see those handful of lots, parcels out there. I've always liked to see, you know, some of the individual little people, you know, benefit from some of the expansions that we do. Is there any accommodation for those properties? Is there a tap-in, or is there any way that this will be designed to benefit those?
You see these along right here?
You know what I'm talking about, those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 plus parcels?
They're not in the sewer district.
I know they are.
If they were adjoining, you know, the sewer district, like they potentially could be if the expansion is approved.
Right.
And we could somehow serve those through this project, we would.
Well, is this project going to be designed so as to serve them, or is there a way to serve them from somewhere else that's convenient? Because it'd be a shame to, you know, work around them and isolate them and not have the ability to get to them without having a lot of expense associated with it.
I would anticipate it's difficult to serve it from this project because there's a branch that runs down as the back end of those parcels, and getting under to get gravity service would be difficult.
Okay.
But later, as we expand the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District along 113, they potentially could be served with that.
Okay, but I just would like to sometimes see when we do projects like this, and I've said it in the past,
we always do.
To approach these people so that we could pull them in. Okay.
We always do. In fact, the one we just presented, some parcels will be served that we could not serve prior to. But in this case, couldn't find
it. Any other questions?
Well, I had another question, but I don't know whether the motion could be put on the floor first.
All right, Mr. Davis, read your motion.
Be it moved by the Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the extension of the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District to include an area of Newdale Acres as presented on June 16, 2009.
I'll make the motion.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the motion read by Mr. Davis. Any discussion or questions?
I just need some background. Is this also being built by a private company,
yes,
engineering,
ma'am,
firm?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And what is the name of the firm?
Shipbuilders LLC.
And I mean the engineering firm that's building the...
The preliminary work is being done by Davis, Bowen, and Friedel.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Baker?
The first item I have is the county administrator's report, and the first item is Library Advisory Board meeting. As per the attached agenda, the Library Advisory Board will be holding a meeting at the Laurel Public Library tomorrow between 10 and 11:30 a.m. Also tomorrow, Station 104 dedication, as per the attached press release. This is a reminder that Station 104 dedication will be held at Midway at Station 104 tomorrow, 11 a.m., in memory of paramedic Stephanie Calloway. Beneficial acceptance. The engineering department granted beneficial acceptance to Fairway Village Phase 2 on June 8th. Developer is Estates of Fairway Village LLC. The project is located in the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District, consisting of 77 condo units and 7 single-family lots. A severe thunderstorm packing high winds and heavy rains passed through northwestern Sussex on Saturday, June 13th, just after 5 p.m. The storm was most severe in the Greenwood and Bridgeville areas and included powerful winds that may have reached up to 80 miles per hour. There were no injuries linked to the storm. However, local fire companies were dispatched for approximately 10 storm-related calls, mostly related to property damage, fallen trees, and downed power lines. There were some minor power outages, but no major outages took place. There were reports of funnel clouds, but none apparently touched down, and a copy of the Weather Service report is attached. And finally, Delaware Solid Waste report. As per the attached report, 24,778 pounds of recycled material were collected at the county's West Complex site during May 2009.
Any questions for Mr. Baker? Thank you, Mr. Baker. Mr. Hal Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, today I need to make sure I have your opinions and direction straight on a number of state legislation issues so that I can make my way to Dover this afternoon and make sure that your opinions are heard. There's not much time left in the legislative session this year, and it appears that legislature spending most of their time trying to solve their budget problems, but there's still a few other issues that we need to be careful that we address properly. And I also apologize. I think there may have been a mistake or two or an omission or two on last week's legislative update. I put that together very quickly because I had a commitment later in the week that I had to attend with, and this report may have been somewhat lacking in its assembly. In any event, I'll go down through the list of bills that I'm watching, and I think some of them I know how you feel. We'll just confirm that. You can give me direction on others. House Bill 26 is a bill that would allow municipalities and counties to treat all liens as if they were tax liens. That makes it more expeditious for us to collect monies that are past due. I've always supported that piece of legislation, even with its amendment, because it appears to be in our favor. House Bill 65 is a bill that would essentially change this legislative body from 5 members to 7. I have continued to oppose that, and I think I may have some support in that opposition from some of our legislators in the North. House Bill number 70 is a bill that's been rewritten with a substitute bill. This bill talks mostly about the prohibition of local governments restricting wind energy development. I know there's been some controversy back and forth about your having the authority with zoning and the state circumventing that. This is a bill that would appear to have some overtones of that in it, but the state is trying to make sure that the state of Delaware qualifies for all the available stimulus funds, which some of them are tied to some energy legislation. This bill essentially would ban the use of covenants or other restrictions to prohibit the installation of wind systems in Delaware and sets minimum requirements for such operations. The bill has been revised to House Substitute Bill 1, and what I can see in that bill appears that the changes that they made were mostly to include historic districts. Some towns, as we know firsthand, have historic districts in their zoning code, and the adjustment that was made to House Bill number 70 allows to recognize those values of historic zoning. But it's still, let me read you the synopsis. The synopsis simply says that this bill bans the use of covenants or restrictions to prohibit the installation of wind systems in Delaware and sets minimum requirements for such operations. The reason they use the word covenants and restrictions is because it would apply to a homeowners association restricting windmills as well as county code or town code. I know I need to get a temperature from you on this one.
Is it in here in this packet we got here? I'm looking.
It should be. It should be.
House Bill 65.
House Bill 70.
70. Okay.
They've added some. If you read through the whole bill, they've also set some standards in there saying that if it's a windmill, it has to be set back a certain distance. It can't be above a certain height. They've tried to address some of the concerns that folks would have about the windmill being, you know, causing an aesthetic problem in the community. And quite honestly, I've seen something recently that amazed me. I always thought of a windmill as a large propped device that rotates in the air, like you see advertised for the development off the coast of Rehoboth. But recently I've seen some windmills that look more like a flag. They're a cone-shaped device that goes up a pole like this. They still catch the wind and generate electricity, but they're not the obtrusive structure that might be hanging over someone's home or causing a lot of noise.
Well, I don't think it's that so much. It's the private deed restrictions, mm-hmm, overriding them. And right. Jim, how can... I mean, when you have private deed restrictions, you buy into a community and you sign off on it, you agree to them. How can the state come in then and all of a sudden say they don't mean anything anymore? I mean, is there a question there? I mean, is it constitutional, as they always say?
I think what Mr. Godwin is telling us is that the state is attempting to adopt these particular laws in order to qualify the state to receive stimulus money having to do with alternate energy sources.
Yeah, but that's usually big projects or whatever, not individual subdivisions. I mean, I can't imagine stimulus packages going to go and help G John Q. Public as a homeowner to get a windmill in a subdivision that's, they're not permitted.
The same thing happened back when the FCC ruled, took the position that private developments couldn't prohibit the discs to, you know, get TV signals, you know, the satellite discs.
Right.
So it's one of those things that federal government is saying the money's there if you adopt certain state laws that are consistent with what the purposes for which this money is can be used, you'll qualify to get the money.
Well, do we know what the standards are, Hal? Are they listed anywhere?
Well, they're listed in the bill, and I'll try to give you some idea. One of the standards says windmills shall be set back 1.0 times the turbine height from adjoining property line. Turbine height means the height of the tower plus the length of one blade. The idea is they want to set back off of the property line that it doesn't create a problem for the neighbor. So that's one thing.
But even the manufacturers of these gizmos state that it should be a minimum of 1 acre.
I think some of them do, but some of the new ones do not. There are some, what I was trying to tell you is there are some new windmill designs that are much more urbanized. They can be used in a smaller area.
Are they getting, is this going to be micromanaging even, this bill doesn't micromanage the individual and what kind of windmill will they get, one that's
talking about noise.
Or one of the old designs?
It doesn't talk about the design. There is another point that says the aggregate noise or audible sound of a wind system shall not exceed 5 decibels above the existing average noise level. So they're trying to micromanage the noise.
But you wouldn't know that until they put it up and started operating it.
Right.
So somebody's already made the expense. I mean, I just think it's an awkward bill.
I should tell you that I have received some concerns from our constituents about wanting to install such a system and asking where do we stand on it. So I think it's important that I get it clear what your position is on this bill.
We've had a lot of applications to the Board of Adjustment as well.
Right.
I've seen them coming right through.
Right, but nobody inspects them, right? We don't have any inspection set up. We don't have, and again, we're allowing them on less than what the manufacturer of the item says should be permitted. We've allowed them on quarter acre lots, and it states that it should only be on 1 acre lots. And they make noise. I mean, they are. I saw one laying down the other day. I went by a guy's house, and he had it laying down. And if you're in a smaller subdivision, it would be laying into his neighbor's yard if you had to lay the thing down to fix it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we're ready to have a bill yet coming from the state. I don't know why we can't handle it.
Mr.
I just think that it's something we ought to do.
All right. Mr. Wilson, have you any thoughts?
I don't think the state ought to do it.
No. I think you probably laid it down because you found it was insufficient.
Well, Sam, I'm just saying the Board of Adjustment's been permitting them on very small lots. So I just think we ought to put this at the county level and tell the state to allow us to try to deal with it. And if we don't deal with it, then maybe they can pay us some state legislation.
So is it a consensus that we are opposed to this legislation?
I would say opposed as it's written. I mean, I don't mind windmills. I think it's a good idea. I mean, I don't think this is the way to go, just to circumvent deed restrictions of private subdivisions.
Well, it's not only that. It's your zoning laws. They wouldn't want you as a government, this body as a government, to stop someone or some subdivision from generating their own power.
But when they complain about them, they come here first, though.
I know that.
You know that, right?
I know.
So I would just still say that I think if we're going to get the complaints, we ought to be doing the legislating.
Mr. Godwin, I believe there is a consensus to oppose that.
I have my constituents want the bill. The people that I've been talking to about, they want the bill.
All your constituents?
Yeah, the people I talk to, the tree huggers that live in my district. Yeah.
Mr. Godwin, I retract that. Ms. Deaver decided to wait until I made that declaration before speaking up. Ms. Deaver, is that a motion to support this?
Is it a motion to support the bill?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we were trying to get a consensus
to take
a motion.
We don't
have
a consensus, so.
No, there. I would like a motion from you if you believe that there is not a consensus to support this or to oppose this.
Well, sure, I'll put that on the floor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there a second to support this bill? Motion dies for lack of second. We are, as a body, opposed to it, Mr. Godwin.
Okay, thank you.
Majority.
Yes.
Not a consensus.
Right. And be assured, I never use the word unanimous support, unless I'm sure I have unanimous support. I always try to allow legislators to know that the majority or the theme of
well,
council
my concern is that there will be funding that will be lost because if we don't support that bill, and I don't see why we couldn't be more restrictive than the state law. But it doesn't make sense that it could not be more restrictive.
I think 80% is pretty well said what it is, what we think.
Okay. The next bill that I wanted to talk with you about is Senate Bill 48. Senate Bill 48 is the Conservation District bill that will simply make a housekeeping change, changing us from Sussex County Levy Court to Sussex County Council. And I did some investigation into that bill for some other concerns, and it looks like it's just a clean housekeeping bill. So I really didn't, I haven't opposed that bill unless you tell me to oppose it. I will allow that one to.
You're saying currently in some code we are referenced as the Sussex County Levy Court?
Yeah, in the state law where the conservation district was established, we're called Sussex County Levy Court. And this bill would change us to Sussex County Council.
Sounds like housekeeping.
Yeah. Okay. House Bill 95 has been pulled from the floor. That was the puppy mill bill. That bill has been pulled off by its sponsor, Ms. Marshall. Senate Bill number 49 is the solar bill. Now, this bill is similar to the one we just discussed, 70, in wind. It says this bill enables the use of rooftop solar systems on privately owned residential dwellings by limiting the use of covenants or other restrictions beginning January 1, 2010, but does not impact restrictions in effect prior to then. The bill permits any deed restrictions. I'm sorry, this bill also permits any deed restrictions which are silent as to how they may be amended, may hereafter be amended by a vote of 20, I don't get that completely. But anyway, restrictions concerning solar collectors on roofs may be amended by a two-thirds vote of the property owners. Basically, this bill would stop deed restrictions from stopping solar panels being installed in the future. If you have solar panels up, this bill won't make you take them down, but it would have some control over who can and who cannot install solar panels. Let me try to give you a better feel for that one. It's a little complicated in the synopsis because what they're trying to explain is that it is adjustable. Let me read this synopsis again. This bill enables the use of rooftop solar systems on privately owned residential dwellings by limiting the use of covenants or other restrictions beginning January 1, 2010, but does not impact restrictions in effect prior to then. This bill also permits any deed restrictions which are silent as to how they may be amended, may thereafter be amended by a vote of no more than 75% of the property owners. Restrictions concerning solar collectors on roofs may be amended by two-thirds of the property owners. So I think that's a lot of mumbo-jumbo there at the end as to how they can amend their covenants. But I'm not sure that this bill has a lot of implication on us other than through deed restrictions. It doesn't mention local governments.
Mr. Cole, have you any thoughts on this one?
Well, just the other thing, like I said, as you ride from Lewis to Georgetown on Route 9, there's this one little place that has those panels that are sitting out in the yard, solar panels. This references rooftops. So the ones that are sitting out in the yard by themselves, unattached to the dwelling, that wouldn't fall under this bill. They would still be.
I think you're right. It's silent. You're right. It's a good question. That is silent in this bill.
Right, because you see some of that. If somebody had some trees and they don't want to do it on
panels,
they go stick it out in the yard,
on a platform. Right. That's not mentioned in here. It says use of rooftop solar systems on privately owned residential dwellings.
If it's strictly restricted to rooftops, I don't have so much problem with that because they're not as they're kind of quiet. Solar systems are. They don't intrude on neighbors too much, and I don't find them as objectionable. But I still don't like the idea about the limiting the use of covenants and restrictions. But it does say that currently anybody has restrictions against them are okay.
Correct.
Right. So. The other one didn't quite clarify that way, did it?
That's correct.
Okay, this is a little better written. So if the other one was written something like this, maybe. But I still don't like the idea of.
They have similar sponsors, but this bill does have a few different folks sponsoring it.
All right, as long as it's rooftop. If you make sure that if you go up there talk to them, that it's rooftop only.
That's all this bill addresses.
I see that.
Is there a fiscal note or any kind of?
I don't see a fiscal note attached with the bill. There may be one in committee that I didn't see, but I haven't seen one.
Financial issues behind this? We're talking about.
They don't mention it. I'm sure.
Energy, money.
I'm pretty sure that this too is connected to stimulus dollars, but that's not spelled out in the draft of the bill. So I'm not 100% sure.
Where they get people to do this is get.
Is there any? Does any council members have an objection to this bill?
No.
I don't.
I mean, we should be doing. Again, we should probably be addressing it here at the county level, but
many bills. I want you to understand also. Some bills I fight for vehemently. I want them. Some I try to stop with everything I can. Some I'm silent on.
Mm-hmm.
This would be one of those bills I would be silent on unless you gave me some clear direction,
mm-hmm.
because I we're not mentioned in here. It's honestly not aimed at local government.
Don't you have to get a permit to put the thing up, and the county gives permits and inspects the job? And
yep.
I mean, we do have, you know, supervision of that kind of thing.
Yep.
Nobody inspects solar system, rooftop solar systems, do we, Lawrence? Not to our knowledge.
Should
not
be.
In Sussex County.
Should be.
They don't. We don't know if they're at the beach area, if the hurricane comes along, picks up the whole panel and sends it down the road. We don't know.
All right.
Okay.
Go north and be
okay.
silent.
I'm going to be silent on that bill. Okay. The next bill that I have on my list is Senate Bill 59. This bill passed the Senate, and it was amended tremendously. We did have an official document for me to work from on our lobbying efforts. Mr. Baker had written a letter to State Senator Thurman Adams expressing your position on this bill. And this was one of those bills where I was silent, but I watched what was happening. And in the restructuring process as the bill went through committee, the bill was amended to the point that I felt it addressed all the three main issues that the letter addressed, Mr. Baker's letter. So I think the bill got refashioned so that we're neutral on this bill, but it deals with green building specifications.
But they're not mandating him, right? It's just trying to promote it.
Well, yes, that's true. The word promulgate that we objected to was left in, but it promulgates rules that are developed by the Delaware Energy Office with consultation from the Delaware Home Builders Association. So we got the home builders' thoughts into the development process, which is what I was really hoping to see happen, and that happened by itself. So that's in there. It looks to me like we were concerned about them picking up any old code to use from wherever they wanted. We got that narrowed down to the International Energy Conservation Code, which is what we wanted to see happen. And we also were able to get the word promote installed rather than must do. And we're also able to watch the development of participation from the Delaware Home Builders Association. They will be involved in writing any of these promulgated rules. So I felt that Senate Bill 50, in its amended condition, was in alignment with the direction you had given me.
Senate Bill 50 or 59?
59, I'm sorry. Senate Bill 59. I misspoke. Sorry.
Well, I think you were very wise.
Well, I didn't have to spend any political capital on that one. I just watched them do it themselves.
And this will only be associated with, primary residence, the primary structure, not outbuildings and
right.
garages.
And there's some future dates, and they want to hit certain goals by 2025 and 2030, which are speculative dates that as long as the Home Builders Association is involved in developing this net zero capability, most everyone I talked with.
But if somebody wanted to build a home in Sussex County that didn't meet this stuff, they can do it?
Yep.
That's all, okay. Because I know Sam will want to build a home like this.
Right.
No.
What else you got, Hal?
Senate Bill 61 is probably not all that important. This bill simply classifies code enforcement officers who are injured as a matter of crime during the disposition of their job are defended by a felony charge. That was something that I thought might protect our code enforcement officers. House Bill, and I'm supporting that. House Bill 106 is an open space bill, and this one I'm going to need your help on. This act implements changes requested by the Delaware Open Space Council. Pursuant to the Act, responsibility for reviewing and recommending projects for funding from the Conservation Trust Fund is transferred from the Delaware Open Space Council to the Parks and Recreation Council. This bill also enacts language to ensure that the receptive councils have authority to recommend that DNREC adopt rules and regulations necessary to perform their statutory responsibilities. I couldn't read that bill and you at the same time, so I need you to tell me what we need to do with this one.
What's the synopsis of that thing? Read that now. Is there? You haven't read it, right?
Yeah. This bill, hang on 1 second.
Hey, they're just transferring money from one fund to another?
Yeah, it's how the monies are recommended. Yeah, pretty much what I just said. This act implements changes requested by the Delaware Open Space Council. So the Delaware Open Space Council wants this bill. Pursuant to the act, responsibility for reviewing and recommending projects for funding from the Conservation Trust Fund is transferred from the Delaware Open Space Council to the Parks and Recreation Council. So it sounds like the Parks and Recreation Council will decide which projects get funded in the open space instead of the Open Space Council. And I'm not as familiar with that as you are. Sorry.
I don't see any problem if they're just transferring the funding.
Yeah.
Is that coming from administration, or is that?
I'm not sure where this bill came from. The sponsors are Representative Brady, Senator DeLuca, and Senator McDowell. With DeLuca and McDowell involved in it on the Senate side, I would say this is probably a bill that came from upstairs. Uh-huh. It's probably a governor's bill.
It seems like in a case like this, you may want to talk to some of the Sussex County legislators.
Yeah.
Senator Adams.
Yeah, I think this is more about
36
who divvies up the money for open space projects.
I'm interested in what kind of money is in that trust fund and where it's going and how Sussex County will do.
I'll make some questions.
Good, Newcastle County.
Yeah.
Okay. House Bill 114 seems to be a no-brainer. This simply exempts active military personnel and their spouses from having to pay a $25 fee to the county for a marriage license.
At least we can do.
Exactly. That was kind of the way I thought about that, too. So we'll say that's a yes. I won't waste too much time on House Bill 99, but it has passed the House. It's in the Senate now. May be voted on in the next couple of days, which will officially make peach pie the estate dessert. Not to forget House Bill 203, which is in the House still, that will make strawberries the official state fruit. I'm sure you have a lot of heavy opinion about that.
Yeah, what happened to watermelon?
You didn't lobby hard
you
enough.
There's a consensus to oppose that.
Obviously didn't sponsor that one, did you?
I declare opposition.
Okay.
Depends on how many watermelons show up at my doorstep.
Right.
You get them every year.
Now, House Bill 209 is one that I really need some help from you on this one. Let me read the synopsis. This bill require that a political subdivision of the state that submits proposed legislation to the General Assembly to affect the self-governance of such subdivision must provide clear evidence that the majority of the legislative body of the subdivision endorsing such legislation. The subdivision's support for such proposed legislation easily can be evidenced by, without limitation, a letter or email to the General Assembly or a representative of the political subdivision who has authority to speak on behalf thereof, or a letter or email from the highest-ranking executive officer of the subdivision who is authorized to speak on behalf of the legislative body. This bill is not aimed at us, but what it would require is that since Bob Maxwell and I are generally the two folks that are in the legislature working on your behalf, we would simply need something from you, either in writing or in an email, that says, we're introducing a bill. Not the bills we're working on that we're talking about today wouldn't be affected. If you're introducing a bill in the General Assembly that'll change the way you govern Sussex County, I would have to have a letter from you to go lobby or introduce that bill. I wouldn't be able to just introduce it willy-nilly.
Well, you have no authority to introduce anyway, do you?
No. Okay. Well, to give it to I would be giving it to a legislator to introduce.
You couldn't even give it to a legislator.
I could give a bill to a legislator and ask him to introduce it without a document that would give your written support. I could do that.
Whether it would go anywhere or not is another story. Right?
I mean, pretty much anyone could do
and
that.
And how does this bill change that process? You would not be able to do that.
I would not be able to get it introduced without your written, written document.
So this undermines your authority?
Not really.
They just want to know.
Not really.
The majority of the county council is in favor of it.
Yeah, I only have what authority you give me. When I leave this building and go to Dover, If I don't have three people telling me to go left or go right, I can't go anywhere.
Why is this bill necessary?
I'm going to tell you why it's necessary.
Okay.
Here's my hunch. I wasn't told for sure, but here's my hunch. In the past General Assembly session, there were some private business people, I'll leave it at that, who were trying to introduce a bill to raise the height limit of construction in Dewey Beach.
Yeah.
And the town didn't want it. But there were takers, there were legislators willing to not only introduce it, but vote for it, knowing the town didn't want it. I think this bill is to neutralize that sort of misguided government. Okay? There have also been a couple of other occasions where a person would speak or try to get something introduced, and they would say, oh, well, the town of Exmoor wants this. Well, how do you know that? Well, I live there, and I'm tight friends with the mayor and all of his buddies, and I know they want this bill. Please introduce this for me. Well, this bill would neutralize that. I mean, if all 62 people, and 63 including the governor, know that when they're talking to me, I'm representing Sussex County. They just know that. But they know that from experience. Well, they don't always know who they're talking to with every town, every county. And this law would give those governments the assurance of knowing no one else could introduce legislation unless they gave them written permission to do that.
So this takes the authority away from the General Assembly members from unilaterally introducing legislation that would affect a town or a county?
No.
It doesn't really say that. That's a good point, though.
A General Assembly member doesn't have to declare how he came to the
That's
point
correct.
Of introducing legislation.
That's correct.
So what is, where's...
I think if Mr. Godwin or a representative of the county went to Dover and said we're in support of House Bill 114 or whatever, they wanted to see an email or letter from the president of the county council saying that the county council supports House Bill 114.
I think this is more narrow than that, Dave, because this says the bill would require that a political subdivision of the state that submits proposed legislation, not just supporting or working against legislation, which I do that all the time, but for me to actually propose legislation through a legislator. I think that's what they're talking about. They're talking about us introducing a bill, and it goes on to say, legislation of the General Assembly to affect the self-governance of such subdivision. So it would have to be a bill that would have some bearing on how you govern Sussex County.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to introduce that through a legislator unless I had a letter from you. That's what this says.
Does that mean every bill that you go up there and represent?
Nope.
No, introduce.
No, it just says, submits proposed legislation. There have only been a couple of bills that I've asked to have introduced for this county. I haven't been that many. I've worked on bills that have been already, they're already in the pot being worked.
When's
in other words, you're saying that we can authorize you to represent us on all bills, or just
we do that anyway.
Yeah, I do that anyway.
No,
that's what he works for us.
Yeah.
I understand, but say he goes up and says, well, we want 114 passed, and he goes up and represents us. Then he comes back and he says, well, what's the next bill representing? And do you come back and need our authority to say you can do this?
No. This bill simply says, if I am proposing legislation, that'd be a new bill.
New legislation.
You're authorized to represent us. Is that what you're trying to get here?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I'm proposing new legislation that has a bearing on how you govern the county, because it says governance of such subdivision must provide clear evidence that the majority of the legislative body of the subdivision endorses such proposed legislation. So in other words, I wouldn't be able to introduce something that would change how you do business without your approval.
And you better not.
Exactly. Any lobbyist with any brains wouldn't do that.
Well, it almost sounds like it goes beyond just you. I mean, for instance, if one of the council members went up there implying that this bill is supported by the county council.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
It's not
limited to who. It just says, this bill would require that any political subdivision submitted legislation. It doesn't say who brought it.
Well, it talks about new legislation.
Right.
Being submitted.
I think you're right. I read that through between the lines, too.
It's limited to new legislation.
Well, anything they're trying to get passed would be new. I mean, that's not why pass old stuff's already.
Well, I'm talking about presenting
When is this going to committee, or has it?
209 is not on committee, and it's not on anybody's ready list at this point. And with having so few days left, it might not make it.
Yeah, okay. When we move on, it's something we're going to probably want to think about some more.
Sure. House Bill 173 raises some concern. This bill requires that buyers of homes in a residential subdivision containing two or more units of workforce housing must be given written disclosure regarding the impact of workforce housing upon purchases of workforce housing as well as upon purchasers of non-workforce housing. I can go on and read the rest of it to you, but this bill sounds to me like it has problems with the Delaware State Code as per real estate code, because it talks about identifying certain kinds of people in one neighborhood from other kinds of people, and I think they're going to have a problem with that. But this bill is aimed at Newcastle County. Newcastle County has struck a nerve somewhere in Dover with their workforce housing program, mm-hmm. which is a little bit, it's kind of similar to our moderately priced housing program. But I would think we should oppose this because it limits certain buyers in certain neighborhoods. And I didn't think we were about that. I'll read the rest of this. It says the disclosure must include, but not limited to, density issues, quality of construction, fixtures and other amenities, maintenance fees, and impact on roads and schools. The Newcastle County Department of Land Use shall enforce the provisions of this subsection by not issuing a certificate of occupancy until proper disclosure has been given. It's clearly aimed at Newcastle County.
Well, find out if it is. If it's a Newcastle County bill, then remain silent. Move on. Let them have.
But if it's state, it's a state law, that'd be another story.
Right.
Not if it's limited to that one county.
We really don't.
Does it declare it's limited to that county, Mr. Godwin?
I think they're on very thin ice with that bill, and the realtors tell me the same thing. The realtors are up there today lobbying against this bill, and all the real estate interests in Delaware have come out against it because it really sounds like it could be close to some kind of a discrimination thing.
I think Vance has a good question.
Does it specifically apply to Newcastle County, or is it a statewide?
Well, it's a state law, and they mention Newcastle County in the bill, but it doesn't say that it's exclusive to Newcastle County in its enforcement.
We'll get that wording put into it and then remain silent.
Yeah, and then we're done with it, right?
Yeah. If you can't, then oppose it.
Right.
I believe there is a consensus for that. Go ahead.
Okay. That was 131. Now, the last bill that I'm concerned about is Senate Bill 132, and this bill will probably make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. This bill provides a certain review of land use ordinances by the Office of State Planning prior to approval or adoption by the respective county or municipal government. What this means is, since we have just approved our comprehensive plan last year, at the end of that process, we will be considering a number of land use ordinances to enable or empower the comprehensive plan.
Oh, we are.
We will be. Mm-hmm. This bill, if it were adopted into law, would say that every one of those ordinances that you propose and or introduce before it can be finalized and adopted by your government has to go through the state planning office, get an approval, and come back to you in order for you to adopt it. Now, I can tell you that, and Lawrence will back this up. I'll let him talk for a minute about this. As a matter of policy, we've been doing that anyway just to make sure they've seen the bills that we're working on so they know where we're going. But it was not required by us to do that, nor did they have veto power over us.
This gives veto power?
Well, it allows them to send the bill back to you and say, nope, you can't do it that way. You've got to add this sentence or take that sentence out. Or they could tinker with the ordinance. Now, I can also tell you that the State Planning Office does not support this. They don't want the added responsibility. They don't have the staff. Have you heard? They're cutting their budget, too. So State Planning doesn't want this bill, but it's being put on.
And we don't want it.
Basically, the bill just says they have to review it. They don't have to approve it.
Well, I think if you read the whole bill, I thought it said in the bill, all land use ordinances adopted by any municipality or county government, council, or levy court shall be subject to review by the Delaware Office of State Planning prior to approval or adoption by respective county municipal government. Any land use application exceeding 50 residential units or 50,000 square feet, 5% of land law use promulgated by that has not reached final plat state, the file under pursuit of county that was not reviewed, yeah, it says, and filed under or pursuant to county or municipal laws or ordinance that was not reviewed by the Office of State Planning prior to approval or adoption by the respective county or municipality shall not be permitted to reach record plan.
It just means they have to review it before you can adopt it and record it.
And they, and right now you say, we've been sending stuff to them and they've been sending back comments.
Yeah, Lawrence.
Right, so I mean, I don't see any, as long as it's just through the review, we ought to continue to do it, right.
Authority over it.
We need to cooperate. I think we need to give them more work up there.
Well, it's a voluntary program.
Right.
Right now.
And we've been doing it.
Send them ordinances. We have been for probably a couple of years for, to get their comments. So we want to see what their comments are when we come to a public hearing.
Exactly.
A lot of it they don't respond to because they don't have any, feel there's any impact. We send them, by MOU agreement, we send them change of zones. Some conditional uses, very few, but some of them. And all subdivision of 50 lots or more. It's based on the MOU agreement.
Well, the problem with this is that does there is no requirement that they do review in the future. If we are basically saying we will not record until they do review, if they put a moratorium on reviewing applications, well, then that, in essence, puts a moratorium on our ability to to record.
Yeah, that's right. That would work.
So we do, I believe, there would be a consensus to oppose this, especially in light of the fact that the office that this affects in Dover is opposed to it.
And the program we've had has been working.
It has been.
We've had no problem. If we want more information, we can just call them and they give us more information.
Yeah.
There's a wide support to oppose this bill, I can tell you, among other local governments in the state and the realtors and the developers. Most folks who are in the land use business are in opposition, and they're there today for this bill is on the Senate agenda today, but it's the last item. I really don't think it'll make it to their work today, but it is on their agenda. It could come up as late as
we are opposed to it. Anything else for Mr. Godwin?
Well, I must have missed. Did you go over Senate Bill 131?
I thought I did. I'm sorry. This bill provides for disclosure materials and information be distributed where additional density or bonuses have been granted by the local government. I guess I didn't. I'm sorry. It also provides for penalties for failures to provide these materials at the discretion of local government. Let me try to.
What do they mean by materials?
Okay.
What's that mean?
Let me get into the meat of the bill here. It says, in all land use development where additional density or bonuses have been granted or awarded by any municipality or county government in order to achieve, sponsor, facilitate, enhance, or encourage the construction of fixed price units, written notification shall be provided to all prospective buyers of both market rate and fixed price units or dwellings. Written notice shall be given 7 days prior to any contract or purchase has been executed. What they're talking about here is this is another bill that's aimed at Newcastle County's workforce housing. Apparently, some folks have purchased homes in developments that have a lot of workforce housing in it, and those homes are a fixed price. As I said, we do the same thing. You take a neighborhood, let's suppose the community, average price in the community is $200,000. And the workforce housing program establishes 20% of those homes to be sold to certain folks that qualify with certain income limits at $140,000. Well, the folks who paid $200,000 want to know about the other homes and the people that live in them and how much money they make, yada, yada, yada. I think this is a bill. I know that the realtors oppose this. It's very much like the other bill that we talked about. But, I think it has problems with real estate law. Because
it's just for disclosure. It's nothing. I mean, it's always good to disclose. So I don't see any problem if it's just disclosing of what's happening in a certain.
License, that's what I'm saying. Doesn't it start to steer people?
Well, No. You have to disclose.
You can't disclose race. You can't disclose ethnicity. I think this is creating a class that you're suggesting may create discrimination issues.
Well, it just kind of sounds like it's getting close to it.
Yeah.
And besides, I mean, the concern we have is our moderately priced housing unit program, which has yet to really deliver product. But It's structured similarly to Newcastle County's workforce housing. In this economy, workforce housing is very important, and the whole state is deficit of good workforce housing.
But people who buy should know that some of it's subsidized.
Well, in real estate, as those who practice it know, disclosure is the key word. Everybody's supposed to know everything. And maybe that's all this is, but it's just...
That's all it is. Disclosures will never hurt you.
Okay.
More information you got, the better you are.
I guess my question, Howard, very quickly, was the last sentence under your... It also provides for penalties for failures to provide these materials at the discretion of the local jurisdiction.
Yes.
Us being local jurisdiction. That means we're going to set penalties?
Let me see what the bill says. Penalties.
So you're saying, Mike, if somebody doesn't disclose whatever it is they want disclosed, there could be a penalty.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
And we would be the ones that would have the penalty.
The penalties aren't spelled out in here. I think that would be at the local government's discretion. Just from skimming this quickly, I think that's what it means.
Jim, what's your thoughts?
The answer to your question is yes. It would be up to the local government.
Yeah.
We would do it.
So you could impose penalties or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they would establish through this bill the obligation to disclose.
Okay.
It does sound
whether or not to punish.
It does sound like there is some concern, but I don't know that we've got any kind of unanimous voice on this. So again, you may need to remain silent.
Yes. Okay. That's really being worked hard by the realtors anyway. They have the most interest.
Well, sit back and keep us informed on
they have a much
where
bigger
you
interest.
See that bill going.
Right. Well, and I believe that concludes my report. Sorry it took so long.
All right.
But I think it's important for me to get your opinions clearly in an open forum. So thank you.
Thank you.
Fine job.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip to Dover.
Very good.
Get pulled over, tell me no white Benson.
We are well beyond the 3:15 scheduled time for the public hearing, so at this point I will turn it over to Mr. Griffin.
We will now open the public